Now, I don't say this often.
He's going to be a wild card in the league.
Welcome back to the Wild Cards Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Coleman Medlin. We're back. I'm joined here today with my two friends and fellow co-hosts.
Joshua Sykes.
Brandon Hartke.
You know, we did have a week of, or was it 2 weeks? It was just 1 week, right, guys?
Yeah, just 1 week.
1 week and maybe a few days, but a little hiatus, and we're back, you know. So, you know, so when you see the Wild Cards Podcast, you're looking to hear the latest and greatest in the sports world. So let's just get right into the major news of the past, I guess, week and a half, 2 weeks, and I guess we could start with the NFL free agency. It was a couple of days ago, but it's still some long-lasting effects in the league, and we're sure to see that this next upcoming season. So, Brandon, how about you get us started off with Russell Wilson? What did he do over this past 2 weeks?
So, thank you. Well, Russell Wilson, he signed with the Steelers for a one-year, $1.2 million deal, but the Broncos still have to owe him $37 million. So, this is a great situation for the Steelers here, having to pay Russell Wilson like the vet minimum, I believe, and you know, getting him for a year. They also they traded for Justin Fields, so now they have two quarterbacks, and they traded away Kenny Pickett to the Eagles, so they have two great quarterbacks that could, you know, hopefully take their team over the top in the AFC North, which the Ravens just previously won. And so I think this is a great move for the Steelers.
No, yeah, I 100% agree. Josh, what do you think? What do you think about all the quarterback moving around the Steelers are doing? They're definitely trying to get things going, especially, you know, new offensive coordinator, see what they can do.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like they feel like Justin Fields is the future, sit behind Russell Wilson for a year while they don't have to pay him anything, and he can learn behind him, and then Justin Fields is the future. I think Russell Wilson kind of knows that, too, going into it, which is a good situation. I mean, he doesn't really have to be worried about a spot. I mean, he's getting paid $1.2 million, but sure, he's still getting about $40 million in the year. So
you guys think that Russell Wilson was made aware that they were going to make that move? Because it happened before the Justin Fields, like about a week before. So you think they told him before, or do they say like, oh, you're coming, you're going to be the starter, which he is going to be the starter, but we're going to throw this guy behind you. Do you think they told him that?
Yeah, I think that was a conversation they had.
Had to be.
I would say.
Yeah, but... And honestly, even if they didn't, though, I think Russell Wilson's the type of guy that would be like, you know what? I'm just going to do it anyway. I feel like he's...
Yeah, Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the death of the Broncos country. Let's ride. And the... What is it? I heard something.
Steelers country, let's mine.
Yep, that's it. That was it. So yeah. Josh, you want to talk about Saquon?
That's a trademark.
Yeah, so Saquon, he was linked to go to the Texans. Everybody thought that's a given. You know, everybody thought he's going to the Texans. And then out of the blue, he signs the Eagles for 3 years and $37.75 million with $26 million fully guaranteed, which that was kind of surprising in my eyes. I felt like he went to a division rival.
Went to the ops. That's the opposition.
I think he kind of just wants to get back at the Giants or the way they treated him.
Yeah, for sure. And again, he went to Penn State. I'm not sure where he went to high school, but was it in there? No, I thought it was at Texas. Anyway, but yeah, he went to Penn State, so he's back in the home state. I remember seeing some of the Penn State fans, like, you know, when there's a guy from your college that goes to your, or from your state college, or goes to another team that's like a rival of the professional team that's in your state, it's kind of like hard to root for him. But like Josh, like you know, Will Levis to Kentucky, yeah. Then he goes to Tennessee, the Titans, which is like, I mean, I know a lot of Kentucky fans are probably Titans fans, but still hard to root for the Titans.
We don't really have a team, but yeah.
Maybe in like 2070 when Lexington is like 10 million people. Anyway, moving on, we got Kirk Cousins, man. Kirk Cousins switched up. Just kidding. He just left the Vikings, man. They couldn't get a deal done. The Vikings wanted 1 year, the Kirk Cousins camp, which I'll have to talk about his agent in a second. Kirk Cousins' camp wanted about, I think, more than 2 years, and they got 4 years, and that 4 years is with the Atlanta Falcons. For the next 4 years, Kirk Cousins will be it in Atlanta. You know, another new coach down there, some new young weapons that haven't been utilized correctly. I think there's a good chance they do pretty well in that division, especially with how, you know, poor it is. I mean, there's a lot of young talent in that division, but there's not a lot of great coaching. So we'll see how that plays out. But his deal was 4 years with Atlanta for $180 million, with 100 million of that being fully guaranteed. So I want to take a moment of our time and shout out Kirk Cousins' agent, because that's absolutely insane. I don't
coming
know
off an Achilles injury as well.
I think that's like that's almost like a market reset off of an Achilles injury. And he's what, 36, 35, 34, somewhere around there. You gotta even as a Vikings fan, you gotta just sit there and just, you know, applaud, because that's just outstanding agent work. I'm not even mad at it to a certain extent, but. So the Falcons get their new QB for the future, and Kirk Cousins always already down there. I saw an Instagram post from him this morning. You know, he's already touring the stadium, which is, it's Mercedes-Benz, right? Or is that? Yeah, Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta. And also I saw him like go to some other places. So he's getting accustomed to the area. But Vikings.
So you're telling me Big Kirko woke up dripping in Atlanta this morning?
Yes, sir. He did. Yeah, he'll be icing out for sure. But yeah. Vikings are in a bit of a QB situation, which we could talk about later. Moving on, Brandon, you want to talk about DeAndre Swift, your former guy?
Yeah, man. I just want to also mention that this is probably Kirk Cousins' first time being in like a Super Bowl stadium. So, congrats to him. my fault, Colin. But yeah, so DeAndre Swift, a former running back for the Eagles and the Lions, he signed with the Bears for a 3-year deal worth $24.5 million.
Wait, hold on. Wait, one second. Wait, I sorry to interrupt you, Brandon, but you said Super Bowl Stadium. Wasn't US Bank for 2021 or 2018 when the Patriots and the Eagles, that was US Bank. Come on, give us some credit, man. Is it Super Bowl Stadium?
I just know that Atlanta hosts a lot of Super Bowls.
You're right. Sorry.
It's like, it's always like Atlanta and Arizona. But
yeah,
you're good. So yeah, like I was saying before Coleman interrupted me, DeAndre Swift signed with the Bears for 3 years, $24.5 million with $15 million guaranteed, which I think for a player like Swift, this is like a great contract. I mean, $15 million guaranteed for a running back, like obviously he's not on the same level as Barkley, but I think this is good for him. Good for the, I don't want to say good for the Bears, honestly, just because I don't like Swift. But they are they are building up though. Like they got Keenan Allen. And obviously, like we said, they traded away Justin Fields. So Caleb Williams is projected to go there. So they're building up that offense and hopefully they suck. But
yeah, Brennan and I both don't want this team to be good. Division rivals. But yeah. But I definitely agree about the money thing. Like they're for a running back. Like
this age? This class, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but we got a few other running backs that they got some good money. So like last year we were talking like running backs are getting like the bare minimum. Now they're getting pretty good money. I mean,
for sure. Yeah. And do you think part of that's because of the NFL increasing the salary cap by like what, 30 million? I think that has to do something, because there's no way like last year, there's no way anyone other than McCaffrey is getting a 3-year $15 million guaranteed with 25 max. So I think there might be some additional incentives I saw added on as well. But yeah, moving on, we got Michael Pittman Jr. He was holding out, but now he re-signs with the Colts for up to $71.5 million, with 46 of that being guaranteed. Michael Pittman, of course, being in a situation where, wasn't really the happiest. There's been a lot of questionable decision-making with the organization. They've just been in a rough spot past couple of years, ever since really, I mean, when was the last time they were?
Andrew Luck, bro.
Yeah, I mean, really since Andrew Luck left, or I guess retired. That's pretty much the spot they've been in. They've been kind of stagnant, and they had Jonathan Taylor, that whole situation. So there's definitely been some turmoil with the Colts, but that's just a little update on Michael Pittman Jr.
I have a quick question. Do y'all know which veteran QB signed with the Colts this offseason?
I'm trying to think.
Oh, it was Joe Flacco.
Yes, that's who it was.
Joe Flacco.
That's right, because Joe Flacco switched from Browns to Colts. Okay, that makes sense. All right, cool. Moving on. Josh, you want to talk about Tony Pollard?
Yeah, so Tony Pollard got a bag, too, from the Titans. Titans are building something special down there. I know we didn't put it on the list. Of course, he's taking a spot of Derrick Henry. He signed with the Ravens to kind of team up with Lamar.
Crazy backfield.
Yeah, that was kind of a given, though. That was kind of like really early in free agency, like maybe the first one or two big moves. And then also not on the list, we'll talk about is the Titans signed Calvin Ridley. So giving Will Levis a lot of weapons. The Tony Pollard, he got 3 years, $24 million. I don't know what Calvin got.
He got 96 mil for 4 years. Yeah, and I don't know how much is guaranteed.
He's going to be there for a bit.
Like 54 guaranteed.
What percent of that do you think is going to go on DraftKings?
Probably good. Him and Shohei are going to.
Yeah, but yeah, Tony Pollard gets that deal. I think it's interesting that the Titans, I've never really thought of the Titans. Like, here, this is kind of, I don't even know if this is like a correct thing to say, or like, I don't really have any basis for that. But my entire like impression of the Titans was that like historically they haven't like had like great management. It's not been above and beyond. Like, they're not giving pieces to everyone, at least in like recent years. Like, I guess they kind of did it with Tannehill for a bit, but then they kind of died out on it, and before that it was kind of a little bit rough. But I like to see that they're giving, so because you think of like the Bears, you get a guy like Justin Fields who's so highly touted coming out of college, and you give him nothing to work with, and then you have like other examples. I know Bryce Young's early in his career, but I mean, he doesn't have like the most weapons, no line, no nothing. There's all these other examples. The Jets with Zach Wilson didn't give him enough, and there's all these guys who are these teams are spending so much capital to get these, or you know, sacrificing seasons, like tanking to get these high draft picks, taking their QBs, and not giving them anything. So I think it's cool that the Titans are building up a massive, you know, arsenal around a guy who wasn't even a first round pick. I think it's pretty cool that they're having that much faith.
You had to throw that in there, huh?
Yeah, well, we did have that. You know, Josh, what did you claim that?
I think he should have went number one.
He should have never. Okay.
He should have went number two at least.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if he's worth that.
Went one.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. We'll see if he's worth that. And, Brandon, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, like, I like what the Titans are doing, but I don't want to say I'm like a Will Levis hater. But
he's only had a year.
I know, but I mean, they have the seventh pick. It's like they couldn't, like, take a quarterback.
There's no way they do that. I can't see him doing that.
I don't know. I think they need to sign like someone to train Levis. You know, like a veteran guy.
I think they should have got Flacco.
I'm pretty sure they signed a veteran. Hold on, I'll look real quick. I don't remember.
Not that like I don't hate Levis, but I don't like him.
Why? What? I don't hate Levis, but I don't like him.
I just don't. Like, I mean, all these weapons, like, if he doesn't prove himself this year.
Oh, they signed Mason Rudolph. That's who it was.
Yeah, that's a great veteran to sit behind. That might make it worse.
How not to get your head smashed in by a big guy.
If he doesn't turn out.
On the football field.
If he doesn't turn out, I guess we'll know why. Yeah. But yeah, so that's that. We also got Austin Ekeler. Oh, we already talked about Austin Ekeler. Or did we?
Didn't.
Oh, we didn't. No. We didn't talk about. We also got Austin Ekeler signing with the Commanders for 2 years on a little bit of a shorter, not shorter, but a little, yeah, shorter and a less money in the contract per year. So we got 2 years up to $11.43 million. I think there's some incentives, but I think that $11.43 million is most of that's guaranteed. I could be wrong. I think it's like somewhere like nine's guaranteed. Anyway, Ekeler moving on from the Chargers, where
He saw Harbaugh coming in. He said, "I went out."
Yeah, he knew. I mean, maybe Harbaugh had to say. Maybe Harbaugh had to say. Listen. Let me cook. I think Harbaugh, and everyone's speculating, that Harbaugh is trying to build up his team of players that were at Michigan, and I don't think he can do that. Like, there's not enough. It doesn't work like that.
I don't know why he'd want to do that. They're not that good.
Okay, well, I disagree.
Yeah,
with that.
Like the national champs that just beat Alabama, like aren't.
I'm sorry that everybody stayed for 5 years and they finally grew a pair and won something.
I would
just
take
mad that like Kentucky's basketball players.
Oh, okay, all right, here we go.
All right, see, look,
that's later.
That's uncalled for.
Uncalled for, unnecessary roasting. Anyway, I think I would rather have Michigan's O line last year than I'd have the Carolina Panthers O line last year. So that's my take. But anyway, I think Harbaugh is going to try. I think Harbaugh had a say in that. I don't think Harbaugh wanted to have Ekeler as part of a system. I think he's trying to build something else. And it's not like Ekeler's bad, but I don't think he's the type of back that they're looking for in their lineup. And I mean, I don't know if you guys disagree, but that's just how I feel. And I don't think the Commanders are going to be doing anything with him. Austin Ekeler, it's kind of one of those situations where like he has the talent. Like, let's say he was on the Chiefs. Let's say he was like one of those franchise players that was on the Chiefs that was just like always on the team, like he was like the Chris Jones, but on the offense. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's an integral part of their core that plays every year, like Mahomes and everyone like that. If he was there, I think Ekeler could have built himself a Hall of Fame career. And basically, by this move, I am pretty confident that he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame for sure. Like, you don't go to the Commanders at this point in your career and make a Hall of Fame career. It's just too late at this point. He's what, 30? I'm sorry. It sounds kind of negative. It is negative. I hate to see it for Austin Ekeler because I think he's the quality. It's just the situation he's in is kind of rough. And there's the injuries and all that. So, all right, Brandon, you want to talk about the Giants?
Yeah, man. But I was gonna say, like, the Chargers, I like what Jim Harbaugh is doing, man. I mean, he was put in like a terrible situation. All I think right. they were like negative.
Oh, wasn't on it.
No, wait, like it was, I'm like well, their hey, cap. Listen, like they were. Like,
I disagree.
80.
I just yeah, sure. But how is that? I mean, I'm sure Harbaugh had something to say with that. But how is that not? I don't know how that's not. I don't know how that's not. What's his name? Joe Ortiz. I don't know how that's not his. Like, isn't that? I mean, I know they're working together, but like, it's not like Harbaugh's fixing the numbers. Like, he's not changing the numbers in the cap. Okay,
he does have like he has say in like which players he wants to keep. You know,
sure.
Like, he
of course.
Got there. He cut.
Yeah, so like, that's what I'm saying.
So
I'm saying
they
he
go
wanted to
4-12 again or whatever. When they win only 4 games, is that all on Harbaugh then?
Yes.
Yes.
That's yeah. what I'm hearing. That's what I'm
okay.
hearing.
Okay. And also, at the same time, I wouldn't say it's as bad a situation as you think. In terms of the pieces.
You already got a quarterback.
You got Justin Herbert, man. And everyone's so low on Justin Herbert, but I think that he's misused. I know he was.
He has no weapons now.
No weapons now. I mean, he did have a lot of weapons, to be fair. Like, he had actually.
Yeah, but they were always hurt.
Yeah. He had really good weapons, but they're always hurt. So it's kind of a tough situation. That's another one. Like, Justin Herbert, another perfect like candidate to lead it, a good team around him. Like, if he was on the Bucks in 2020, they still would have. I mean, okay, maybe that's a stretch. But if he was
yeah,
on like
not Tom Brady, chill out.
Yeah, I realized what I was saying there. I meant like a team.
Hey,
like,
no, but look, hey, if I'm the Vikings, I'm sending some picks to the Chargers. Maybe they want to get a franchise. Maybe they want to get JJ McCarthy.
I am
they
not.
They want to build Michigan.
I would not be opposed to that. I would not be opposed to having Justin Herbert on the Vikings. Actually, I would prefer that over JJ McCarthy in an instant. I would take that. I don't know. But I think
Brandon, talk to your reps.
Hey, no, it's not possible.
Talk to his.
It's not possible because of Herbert's contract situation. That's
I'm about to say. I don't think the Vikings can take on a contract like that.
Yeah, and Herbert's contract is huge.
Justin Jefferson. Because he's on his way to Cincinnati.
Nah, he has one more year, man. Hey, don't say that yet.
So the Giants, they traded a second round and a fifth round pick for Panthers defensive end Brian Burns. And then once Brian Burns got to the Giants, he signed a 5-year deal worth up to $150 million. So from what I've seen from Brian Burns, I think he's a great player. I do think the Giants overpaid just a little bit because their defense is already, like, good. You know what I mean? Like, that's not great, but, like, their defense was good. They need to fix
their defense offense. Is not the problem,
Yeah, so I don't think paying this guy $150 million is going to help them win more games. But I think it's a great move for – I don't know why Brian Burns wanted to go from the worst team in the NFL to a top five worst team in the NFL. But, hey, he got his bag, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, but how much of that's going to be paid in taxes?
So yeah, it's New York. Well, isn't it, dude? I don't even know. Since the stadium's in New Jersey, where do they pay taxes? Do they pay
matter.
Jersey
They're
taxes?
Still gonna be
yeah,
terrible
it's
taxes.
Still terrible. Jersey actually might be worse in some part.
The luxury tax is probably even worse than Jersey.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably pretty bad. But I mean, they're getting millions. So who cares? At the end. Yeah. So I agree with you guys. Like, the Giants have a good defense. They have Thibodeau. They have all these guys. Decent defense. I would say it's like top.
I don't think it's a terrible defense.
I don't think it's bad at all. I think they could win with it. They definitely aren't going to win.
They don't have a quarterback or wide running back now, or an offensive line. So
yeah, so they're pretty much in shambles anyway. So moving on, we got Christian Wilkins signing with the Raiders, 4-year, $110 million, and 85 of that being guaranteed. Is there anything you guys want to mention about that? I mean, the Raiders are pretty poverty, in my opinion. So I don't know if they're going to do well.
I just
unfortunately,
don't feel like that was a good. I don't feel that was a good move for them. Wilkins got his bag, but like,
yeah, well, it's a good move for Wilkins.
I mean, what does that
like
help you though?
I think having Wilkins and then Max Crosby like on that line, like, that's gonna be one you can't can't run on him.
You and definitely
then,
can't.
But we're in the same situation that we are with the Giants. They're great defense, but there's no offense.
What does it mean? Yeah, why pay a guy to like?
Then they have Devontae Adams. They have didn't they get Alexander Madison?
Yeah, they got Madison, Alexander
and
Madison.
They have Gardner Lynch,
which I wouldn't say is a good pickup, in my opinion.
I don't think it's.
Yeah, I agree with Josh. Why are you building up your defense and like getting all these pieces to make people excited if you're not going to win games because you can't score any points? That's my thing. Unless they're letting what's his name cook O'Connell.
No, they got Gardner Minshew now.
Yeah, but aren't they gonna still?
I don't know.
I don't know who's going to start. I think they're equal players, to be honest.
I like their coach, though, but like he's a defensive-minded coach, but like, you got to have some offense. You can't just be the Patriots and try to win games without scoring points.
Anyway, Josh, you want to talk about Baker?
Yeah, Baker, you know, brought our boy Baker back to the Bay. You know, he signed a 3-year deal with $100 million, and $50 million of that was guaranteed. Yeah, him and Mike Evans are back together. Just running it back pretty much with the same squad we have. I think we lost Devin White. I think Devin White signed somewhere else.
He went to the Ravens, I thought.
Yeah, so that kind of hurts.
Devin White went to the Eagles.
And then you guys kept a lot of your dude. You guys, and he franchise tagged. What's his name? The safety, the Minnesota. Yeah.
Anton Winfield?
Yeah, Junior. Winfield Junior. You franchise tagged him, so he's stuck. Although franchise tag doesn't always, you know,
mean you're stuck.
Like Sneed. Wasn't Sneed franchise tagged? We'll talk about
that. Yeah, but I don't think he hates being there. I think more money.
No, yeah. I think he likes being there for sure.
I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't want to play in the warm sun,
Being from Florida, or you guys are probably know a lot of Tampa fans, but moving down here for college, I've come to know a lot of Tampa fans. Like I'd say like one out of every sports guy I talk to is Tampa fan. Cause I mean, it's right there, but and interestingly more than Jacksonville, even though we're closer to Jacksonville, anyway, whatever. A lot of them are like, especially my roommate, man, he is so happy. He sent me all the updates over spring break, like all the updates about the Tampa, how they're keeping all their guys for the most part, you know. Then they had the thing with what's his name? Mike Evans. Mike Evans got the extension. We can talk about that. And so yeah, a lot of happiness for Tampa fans going on right now, especially since they had like a decent run in the playoffs and then sold. But yeah, I think Tampa's in a good spot, especially I think they're going to make the playoffs. The only problem is like, how good are the Falcons going to be? I think that's the only competition.
I don't think they'll be that good.
I don't think they're going to be that good.
Whoa. I think the Falcons will win the NFC South.
Oh, okay.
The Falcons, I think they get minimum 10 wins.
Wow. All
right. So somebody's smoking crack.
Okay. Well,
if you think about it, they have Bijan Robinson, one of the best young rookie running backs. They have Drake London, who has a decent ceiling. Kyle Pitts, who was a monster at Florida.
Yeah, utilized wrong.
Now they have a great quarterback in Kirk Cousins.
Oh, it's good to hear that you have such high feelings for Kirk Cousins after dissing him since he was in your same division. It's almost like once he left, there's like some bubble that you left, and now all of a sudden he's like Tom Brady. Like, where did this unfound love for Kirk Cousins just spawn in from? Where did this come from?
You know, it's always been there. I just had to hide it. You know,
Okay.
But, I mean, the defense, like, they have Jesse Bates. I believe, I think they still have Calais Campbell. I mean, their defense, like, isn't bad.
I thought Calais Campbell left.
I thought he retired. He's old. Old dude. I think. He seems old. Feels like he's been in the league forever.
Ah, he's still playing. He's 37.
That's my ball knowledge right there.
I could have sworn he retired.
So, like, I honestly think in order for the Bucks to make the playoffs, they'd have to fight the Rams for like a wild card spot. So the Bucks have to be better than the Rams,
which I think they can do. They would have.
Aaron Donald retired.
Yeah, forgot about that. That's so like there are some people who are retiring, but at the same time,
Tua's season was a fluke. So I mean,
okay, hey, that's a hot take.
My fantasy team though.
I would too, but I don't disagree with that. I think that was an outlier season. Packers. Released Aaron Jones, and then they signed Josh Jacobs for a 3-year deal. I think we could check the price. I thought it was somewhere around a little under 20. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe a little over 20. Anyway, 3-year deal for Josh Jacobs on the Packers. And then the Packers, after they released Aaron Jones, the Vikings went and picked him up for a 1-year deal worth $7 million, which I think, you know, the Vikings had it's an odd offseason. I wouldn't call it good at all. I think there's definitely like, I mean, one of the...
Well, didn't y'all lose Danielle Hunter and Marcus Davenport?
Yeah, the problem with Davenport is he played only like 6 games. He's great, but I don't think he's going
to... He went to the Lions, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's good for you guys if you can play.
I think Danielle Hunter went to the Texans.
Yeah. The Texans and the Vikings did a lot of handoffs. So we got like a couple line... I think we got... Besides, we got Blake Cashman, then we got Jonathan Greener, a linebacker. So the Vikings... The Vikings and the Texans did a lot of trade or a lot of like moving stuff around. So the Texans got Danielle Hunter. I guess it wasn't a trade, but then the Vikings got Jonathan Greenard and Blake Cashman, linebacker. I think he went to Minnesota. And then I think he went to my high school, actually. I could be wrong. But then
You don't know you, little bro.
Yeah, he no, I, for sure he does not. he can slide me some bread though. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, for real.
I'm kidding. no, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. But and then the Vikings obviously did the pick swap trade with the Texans so they could get the 23rd pick, which I think was the biggest steal for the Vikings in the offseason. But anyway, the Vikings did make some moves, but I think this is one of their better moves, signing Aaron Jones, you know, division rival, for only $7 million for 1 year. So that means they, if he's trash, you get rid of him. It's not that it's that simple. They also have Ty Chandler right behind him. I think that's a good backfield, decent enough backfield. I don't think they need anything else with that, with their offense. Besides the quarterback, obviously. The most important part. But
do you have a quarterback? Is it Nate Mullins?
No, we have Nick Mullins, we have Josh Dobbs left, and then we have
Josh Dobbs went to the Niners.
Oh, yeah,
no, the... we have Jaren Hall, the BYU guy.
So a bunch of nobodies.
Okay. So Nick Mullins, he'll throw for 500 yards a game, but he'll also throw for 500 picks a game. So I mean, if you want to gamble, it's literally like Calvin Ridley, DraftKings type of game. You literally just put it all on red and hope for the best. That's how it is playing with those quarterbacks. So,
And you lost KJ Osborne.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think he was that good. That's my opinion.
Oh, I forget y'all have Jordan Addison though.
Yeah, I think the Vikings receiving core is pretty solid. I don't need to really make.
Nah, pretty trash actually.
Okay.
Mama.
But yeah, moving on. Brandon or Charlie, Josh, you want to talk about something the Chiefs did?
Well, we already talked about Snead. Snead got traded to the Titans for a 3rd and 6th round pick from the Chiefs. Titans are I think they're building something special down there in Tennessee. I think, well, of course, they have to compete with the Texans. The Jags, I think, are like, I don't know, they've kind of like lost a step, I feel like.
For
I feel
sure.
Like they've
since regressed. The comeback?
Yeah.
In the playoffs, yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. I don't see them competing as well. Oh, is it a 7th? I'm sorry. I don't know where I got 6 from. Is it a 3rd and 6th? I mean, a 3rd and 7th?
It was a 3rd. It was a 3rd and a, I think it was a 7th, but it was a, it, instead of a pick.
It was a flop.
It was so a like flop.
This year's 7th round pick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Tennessee just trying to beef up and give them the best chance to compete with the Texans in the division. So, sure. I'm not mad about it.
Marquise Brown previously played on the Ravens, and then he was on the Cardinals. Now he's finally got a good quarterback. Not that Lamar Jackson wasn't good, but Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT. So Marquise Brown,
that's crazy.
I think it's a 1-year deal with the Chiefs. I love this deal. The only thing I don't like is Rashid Rice is fantasy value now that
for sure.
Marquise Brown is there. But that's all I had to say. You know, Chiefs, Super Bowl champs defending.
That's a good insight.
And, you know, now they just loaded up on another weapon.
The Rashi Rice, that's good insight. I actually didn't come to my head. That's
welcome. See, I'm a fantasy guy.
Now I'm going to win the league. Anyway, we got some upsets in March Madness, you know, the big event happening actually exactly right now. Speaking
Can I talk about the first one?
Winning. Arizona's playing Dayton. They're up by 6. Cool. Okay. Brennan, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about how Auburn screwed my bracket. I'm a big Auburn supporter, and
really?
For them to lose
what?
To an Ivy
Since
League
when?
School. Hold on, dude.
His friend's an Auburn fan.
Uh-oh. He has an Auburn flag or a shirt, doesn't he? Oh, he's looking in his dress. No. Oh, here we go.
I was stupid, bro.
Valentino.
Oh, gosh. He has no idea. He has no idea who these players are.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, wow. One Auburn shirt. Dude, I guess he's a super
fan.
Might as well, like, anyway, be a booster.
I don't, you know, Auburn...
Is that Bruce Pearl?
Yeah, it might be.
Did Auburn? Who won the SEC? Auburn?
Yeah. No, yeah, Tennessee. Tennessee won.
Okay.
Tennessee won the regular season.
Yeah, that's
Auburn is known for choking in big games. I mean, you just look at the Alabama game. I mean, Auburn had that game in the bag. I've never seen Jalen
football
throw up the meanest Hail Mary I've ever seen. And it's like Auburn forgot how to play defense.
Yeah.
Now, you go into March Madness. I got you going to the Final Four. Okay, the Final Four. You lose to Arizona in the Final Four, according to me. You can't even beat Yale.
Yeah,
they Who's calculated Yale? The win. They calculated the win, brother.
Calculated the win. This is wild. Auburn has to. You know, I don't respect Auburn anymore. I'm sorry. That's all I have to say.
Oh wow,
I never did.
They really let me down. Yale beats Auburn in the first round. That's one of the biggest upsets so far in this March.
And then we got
Oh, sorry.
We can move on to the next one.
Yeah, I was going to say both these kind of go hand in hand. We got last night, we got two back to back 12 versus 5 upsets. We got Grand Canyon beating St. Mary's, which, I mean, man, St. Mary's, I mean, they got to get it together. They're always
another team that let me down. I had them beating UConn.
They always sneak in to the at large, right? And then they just can't get it done.
It's either at large or they win the terrible conference they're in with Gonzaga.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's kind of broken that they can just get in every year and just lose, but sometimes they're good. So anyway, James Madison also beating Wisconsin. I don't know why Wisconsin was ranked that high in a weakish Big Ten.
I predicted this upset.
Oh yeah,
I did too.
These were pretty like not surprising.
They were heavy upsets. Like
I also predicted this next one. Whoever's going to talk about it?
Oh, you can go talk about it. Go for it.
Oh, thank you, man. NC State, you know, I chose them to win because they just won the ACC. So I was like, I've seen that big guy. Sorry, I don't know his name, but I was like, dude, this guy, he's going to cook.
Is it the guy who after they won the report?
Yeah, they gave him ice cream.
It was this guy who was like on the larger side and they gave him a bowl of ice cream after he finished. And that was just, and oh, actually, no, now that I think about it, I think I saw something. Apparently
meaning behind it.
No, but there's some tradition or something. So it's not how it looked, but it definitely looked weird giving a guy who's on the bigger side. But I don't know. It's funny joke, whatever.
Number 11, NC State beat Texas Tech. And now NC State goes on to play Oakland, who,
Whoa, dude.
Yo, don't name
they
drop.
Don't, know.
Don't
they
say
don't
the name.
Know that, okay?
No, they don't know that yet. It's a. Right, let's
you
keep
can
it
talk
a secret.
About the next one. You can talk about the next one though.
Or can I talk about? I'll talk about Oregon. Another 11 seed, the S6 seed.
Yeah, we'll save Josh's for the last one.
Sure. But yeah,
another, I put it there. You dingus.
Another notable game, number 11 again, just like NC State. Oregon beat number 6 South Carolina, another SEC team going down. SEC has struggled this year. Same in football. Didn't get any in the championship. And then I guess I'm just kind of excited to hear what Josh has to say. Josh, what do you have to say? What's the next game?
You know, we're here another year. This is my yearly Kentucky Fan Anonymous meeting.
Suicide watch.
I got put on the third floor in a padded room Thursday afternoon, in a straitjacket after this horrific game, this Calipari masterclass.
Yeah.
Oakland defeated Kentucky in the round of 64. 1-4 in the last 5 years, or no? Is it? Yeah, I think it's 1-4 in the NCAA tournament.
Yep. One didn't count.
You know. So much hype for this team all year. Every game we lose, this team's built for March. This team's built for March. Rob Dillingham, that shot's going to fall in March. So much hype.
That was
hype.
A lie.
So much hype. Yeah, when you airball a step back, fade away, 10-foot shot, it's not falling in March, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, Reed Sheppard didn't show up in the first half. I don't think he showed up in the second half.
Showed up to the game.
Yeah, he didn't show up at all.
He pulled a Dak Prescott and he slept in a sleep number last night and just didn't wake up in time.
Yep.
But yeah, and then Aaron Bradshaw had a good game. Trey Mitchell had a good game for Trey Mitchell standards, I guess. I just hate for Antonio Ruiz, man. He's a good player. He had like 27, almost 30.
Only consistent player.
What do you do? It was a quiet 27 because the dude across from you had 32 with 10 threes.
Yep. We'll talk about Golki in a minute.
That dude's 40 with a mortgage and 5 kids. Yeah. What are we doing? How is he still in the league?
Yeah, it's rough.
He played against Tyler Hero he's on his second NBA contract. What are we doing?
Yeah, this guy, he's old. He's 24. He needs to get needs to get a job soon. You know, start selling cars and he ran all over Kentucky. And there's a lot that can be said about Cal and what happens. The fact of the matter is, Cal's not going anywhere. All right, he has a lifetime contract. He's locked in. I think the buyout's like 34 million. Yeah, something. It's not happening. The AD, Kentucky AD, Mitch Barnhart, he don't got the bread for that. It's as simple as that. No one has the bread.
I think he does.
I
watched another podcast. I'm talking about it. They said it's the SEC, dude. There's so much money running around Lexington right now.
The fried chicken?
No, it's bourbon money, just old money. Really, it's just like a lot of people. Oh, yeah. It's like. It's really the Lexington Mafia. That's why Rupp Arena is not on campus. It's because it started off campus, and now they're not going to move it. Like, it's just not happening. It's just, there's a lot of money. They could do it. They could do it if they wanted to, but I don't, they're not going to, so it doesn't matter.
They're not going to. Cal's pretty much locked in. He's not going anywhere. And guys, who do you think can replace Cal Perry if they manage to, you know, get the GoFundMe started and they get the money?
Well, I'd be okay with. Like, it's not like ideal, but like bring back Rick Pitino, I guess, would be my okay one.
Sure.
Because he's not there. I mean, he's gonna cost a little bit of money, not as much as Cal.
Yeah.
And then I think he's better X's and O's, and I think he can still recruit.
I think all the guys that we could talk about are better X's and O's, and but they're not, none of them are gonna be as good as recruiters. That's the trade off. But yeah, isn't there some bad blood though between Pitino and Kentucky fans?
I think that's kind of like been time, you know. I mean, he did go to Louisville, but like at the time, I mean, I think he's been enough time away from all of it that I think we're okay. I mean, he won us like 2 national championships. I think we're okay.
Yeah, I got you. So there's that. I think a realistic one would be like maybe Scott Drew. Is that sound?
He technically won us one, but the one that Tubby Smith won, Rick Pitino won because he recruited that class.
Yeah.
Classify myself.
Which will never happen again. No coach is ever going to win a national championship with someone else's class ever again. Like full class, like that's not gonna happen.
Unless Rick Pitino comes this year.
But no, I still think most of those guys would leave besides Travis Perry. I think not most, maybe half. I would.
Boogie Fland would leave.
Maybe not Boogie Fland, but Quintance or whatever his name is. I think anyway. And then maybe a reach would be like Jay Wright. Maybe. I mean, he's broadcasting. He already left Villanova. I don't think he's coming back. But that's like a reach. That's like if they somehow, somehow are able to do it, which is just, you never know. But I doubt that will happen. But that's kind of like do you guys want to talk about our brackets? The bracket, we did do a group and we didn't do a podcast last week, but we would have, if we did, we would have invited everyone to join the group or the bracket challenge. Probably something that Josh is glad didn't happen because they would see his percentile score. Or his percent correct score. So now,
I think everybody knows who I picked to win the national championship.
We do, yeah. And a lot of us had Kentucky going far. Except me, I had him losing second round. I was more.
Did you really?
On this bracket, yeah.
You're so fake, bro.
Is that fake? I had him losing to NC State.
That's fake, bro.
But right now, my bracket, I think I'm in first place out of the 6 people. I have a 98.8% correct. I think I've only gotten, was that Mika, like 2 wrong? Maybe 3?
No.
Yeah?
No, it's like 4.
4? I think it, so I got Kentucky, I got Florida, and I got Auburn, and yeah, you're right, James Madison. Oh, and then Utah State and Oregon. Okay, never mind, I got much more than that. I was looking at the percents wrong. But yeah, obviously that's going to drop. I'm not a great bracket for me either, even though it says 98, that's not really, doesn't share the full story. Not a great bracket overall. Not a great season for brackets for anyone really. There's no more perfect brackets left, might I add. Second place is Brandon's brother. And then third place is Brandon. Is that your dad?
Yep.
Brandon's dad. And then fourth place is Brandon. Or he's tied with his dad. And then fifth place, we got our friend Gabe. And last place, we got, who do we have there, Josh? Who does that say in last place?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. You're right. Yeah, there's an X on it. And what is that for, what is the percent next to it? Josh, it says 29.7.
You know, I made 20 brackets and right. Kentucky won 18 of them. So they're all busted.
Yep. Well, you know, there's some optimism there, which you got to respect. But yeah, that's kind of how our brackets are doing. Brandon mentioned how Auburn ruined his. I haven't been like completely ruined because Arizona is still.
Yeah, I mean, if Arizona wins, I'm chilling. But
yeah, everyone's still hanging in there. And then I think Arizona's playing right now. They're playing Dayton at the current moment in time. And I think they're.
No Flyers.
They're up by 12 and there's 7.5 minutes left. So I think they're doing pretty all right. You never know, in March they should be able to hold on. There was already a big comeback, but yeah. Moving on, second to last thing, really quick, talk about our feels good story of the week. And as much, Josh, you might want to close your ears because
I'm putting you on mute, by the way.
Okay. All right. That's good. Jack Gulkey, you know, he was on the Oakland team, which I didn't realize was in Michigan until I looked it up. I thought it was Oakland, California. I should have known that. But Jack Gulkey, you know, he scored 32 points against UK. All of his like field goals were 3-pointers. He had scored 10. I think he tied the record in an NCAA tournament game. And then he had two free throws to get them 32. And he was hitting like insane shots, but they're insane because Kentucky couldn't switch or close out. They, you know, they couldn't get the switch man. They're running all these actions, or Oakland was running all these crazy actions with their coach, who's the longest tenured D1 basketball coach. I think he's been coaching there for like 40 years. And longest tenured coach, and they're just can't guard Kentucky historically this year. Going back to the first game of the season, they just can't guard anyone. Really bad defense, really good offense. And the feels good part of it is that, you know, Jack Oakley, he was D2, he was on Hillside, he was at Hillside College, and now he's getting recognition. And even if it's, you know, to the sadness of Josh, you know, it's against Kentucky, but and I'm a Kentucky fan too, man, so it does hurt, but I think it's cool that he's moving up and stuff. So he said they're probably not, he's probably never going to go to the NBA, but there are players like George Niang in the league on the Cavs, so you never know. If he can make it to the league, then anyone can make it to the league. We have a Thanasis in the league, albeit just because of Giannis. But you know, things can happen, and a guy who's, you know, usually takes bumps and turns them into decent players is Eric Spoelstra. So that's a guy who can really make a 3-pointer shine on a
team. He'll get to play with Tyler Hero again. Like he did
High school reunion, but in the NBA. Shout out to Golki, you know. Doesn't seem like a bad guy, even though he, you know, murdered Kentucky from the 3-point line. So I mean, definitely,
he looks like he's 40 and has 3 kids.
Yes. So he realistically, he's probably a future car salesman or district accounting manager. But, you know, shout out him. And I guess next thing we could go, we go over our picks from last week and how we do overall. If you guys do not know, we do a season 10 a week season where we pick 10 games each week. So out of 100 games this over season, we're in week 10, and we're gonna be picking games right now. We're in an interesting situation, kind of. We just finished week 9, and I'm 47 and 43, which is 52.2% last place. Brandon is 50 and 40, which is 55.5%. And then Josh is 51 and 39 in first place for 56.6%. So I'm in last place by 3 games, and we only have 10 games to pick this week. So I'm in an interesting spot. I got to kind of hedge my bets. Because the loser, whoever loses, has to pay for a big meal for all 3 of us when we meet up again. So that is a lot at stake. You know, the McDonald's is definitely going to be feeling the weight of my pockets. Just kidding. We're going to go to some better restaurant than McDonald's. But yeah, we got 10 more games coming at you guys. And I guess we should just get started and tell you guys our picks. So do you guys want to start off with that, Brandon? Do you want to start on Sunday?
Yeah, man, I'll start on Sunday. So on Sunday, we have number 9, Texas A&M versus number 1, Houston. This is obviously for the round of 32. Josh has Texas A&M beating Houston. Oh, and Coleman. Josh and Coleman both.
I have to hedge my bets, man.
And I have Houston. I have Houston just because I have them in my bracket. I believe I have them playing Nebraska. So I still think that Texas A&M will win. Or not Texas. I still think Houston will win.
Yeah, you said it right the first time, buddy.
Okay. Houston's going to win. And I think I have them in the championship, so hopefully they do win. But our next game on Sunday is number 13, Yale versus San Diego State. We all have San Diego State here. I did have Auburn. I don't know if y'all had Auburn, but Auburn didn't win. So
yeah, I had Auburn.
Then again, we have number 6, Clemson versus number 3, Baylor. We all have Baylor here. Coleman's talking about hedging, but I haven't seen much hedging yet.
You'll see. It'll come.
So we all have Baylor here. They're just the better team. And we have our last game on Sunday. We have number 12, James Madison, versus number 4, Duke. And we all have Duke there. Duke, known for winning in March, so hopefully they continue.
Well, I want to say for everybody listening that says, oh my gosh, Joshua picked Duke, I did it just to make sure maybe I'll get the number 1 spot. I didn't want to – James Madison I'm not very comfortable with yet. So
sure. And the number 1 spot gets to pick the next punishment for next season, which will be coming up soon. Another season coming up. Season 3 of the Wild Cards picking games. So, yeah, on Monday we got –
I'll be back-to-back champ. That's all I'm worried about.
You might be. Maybe it must mean something, you know. It must mean something because it happened twice in a row. So I need to get my stuff together. Sixers at Kings. We all have the Kings except for Brandon, who has the Sixers. And by the way, might I add, Brandon, there's a bit of a scandal for cheating there. Last week, he or 2 weeks ago, he was accused of using AI to pick his games, which we'll have to investigate after the season.
Oh, okay. But, so now we're going to investigate it now that you're about to lose.
Hey, like, hey, we have to might
earlier.
We might have to have the oversight committee, you know, take a look at it. You know, just make sure things are looking out, you know, make sure things are working well. And then we got another game on Monday. We got the Grizzlies at Denver. We all have the Nuggets winning that one. And then on Tuesday, we have the Lakers at the Bucks. This is where I start to, you know, pick some games that I think I might have to be upsets. I have to pick enough games that are, you know, give me the opportunity to win, hopefully, if these teams win. So Lakers at the Bucks. Josh and Brennan have the Bucks, and I have the Lakers. And then similar thing on Tuesday, OKC at the Pelicans. Brennan has the Pelicans, so I chose OKC because I think OKC can actually win this game. And so does Josh. And then, yeah, Josh, what do we have on Wednesday going on?
Wednesday, we have Phoenix at Denver. Coleman picked with me. Surprisingly, he went the Suns.
Yeah, I never picked
the Suns. And then Brandon went the Nuggets, you know, casual pick. Doesn't know.
It's not That's a casual okay. pick.
No, it's definitely a casual pick. It's okay.
How is that a casual pick?
You don't know what I know. It's fine. I've got inside sources. Jokic is looking at horses this week. He's trying to place a bid on horses. So his mind's occupied at this point. So sure. Not going to have a good game.
Yeah.
Indiana at Chicago. So me and Brandon went with the Pacers. Coleman went with the Bulls, kind of hedging his bets again.
I'm so scared about this game because I don't think the Bulls are going to win, but I have to have him win. So just got to have a lucky game.
I don't know. DeMar's been playing pretty good. So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. And Tyrese has been playing like garbage. So there's that. So, yeah, those are our games for the week, our last week of season two. So there's that. That's our 100th or 91st through 100th game.
It's our 30th podcast, by the way.
Is it? Yeah, it is. There it is. 30th pod, not including the intro. So this is our 31st upload to Spotify. It'd be pretty cool. So with that out of the way, without further ado, I want to appreciate everyone for listening to this episode of the Wild Cards Podcast, this 30th episode, this last day. Or last episode of the season. So with that being said, I want to thank all of you guys for coming out and listening. If you want to check out our social medias, you can go to Instagram and type in Show Wildcards, S-H-O-W-W-I-L-D-C. Wait, did I spell that right? W-I-L-D-C-A-R-D-S. Show Wildcards, and you can look in the link tree in the description and find all the information you need regarding the Wildcards podcast. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. My name's Coleman. I was joined here today with Josh and Brandon. Yeah, peace.
Peace.
Peace.